Professor Shiva, Rav Horowitz, and Pashas Bahab Hukosai. Sources is Vayikra chapter 25 through 27, Tehillim, Palm chapter 67.
Good morning. Now one of the mitzvot which have definitely to do with the land of Israel, and which are only applicable once the people have settled in the land, why should it mention here in the end of Leviticus, the end of Vayikra?
So that's
so Rashi says, I might have thought that this mitzvah was mentioned here, but was not yet given to Sinai, was given to him when Moshe repeated the Torah with many mitzvot that have to do with the land. That is one interpretation. However, we can look at this also from another angle.
That is
from the angle of the significance of the Shmita, which is just like Shabbat, is a test for each Jew who, let's say, lives in a place where the main business day, when people can do all their shopping, and this is also in my first rabbinical position, where the Jews in Manchester were great number of them who lived in a community in the area, they had to go to the markets. So that was a day when they could sell their products. And this marketing day, then that new value. Then we had a synagogue that's more than Beit Midrash, which is attended by people who are early in the morning on Shabbat, a few of them,
but
also attended by very many people whose cars were parked on the corner, and but they came to say Kaddish. That was made harmony and completion, the concept of seven.
So you also have to trust that although to be adopted, as said, by the nations in the concept of the lease and freehold of the situation of the land, it follows the pattern also of Shita, multiplied by itself seven times, which leads on ultimately to Jubilee, the Yoga, 50th year. This is the basis of how to deal with Nadlan, real estate properties and land that be adopted because of its agricultural significance. But farmers, people in the agricultural industry, they let the land lie fallow also once in 7 years, or something like that, in 6 years, but they do it by part, dividing it, dividing the plot land into different crops, different situations, so that each year they have profit. But here the whole nation is obligated to keep it, so therefore it says later, the beginning of this portion, when you would say, what are we going to eat? If we're going to have a whole year, we won't work the land, so we won't have enough income. We can't have any harvest. We're not going to plow nor to harvest. So Hashem says, okay, I will provide it. You'll find, if you keep the Shemitah the seventh year, you have better crops than the others. And you have to have great trust in Hashem. And here in Israel, it has happened that people, on the whole, did not keep the Shemitah with regard to the land, because it was too difficult for the villages, the kutzim, and the shabim. Nevertheless, as it says at the end of this brief, next week's parsha, Olech etchem kominyut, if you follow my principle of Shemitah, and trust in God, then I'll go with you with an upright stature, which means I'll give you greater strength, greater financial industrial success. And that's actually happened. There's a moshav, a farm settlement called Komamiut, where they kept Shemitah. It's very difficult. But they did it. That means they spent the time studying Torah, and they left the harvest, of course, whatever grows by itself, so it's permitted basically for any person to eat, the poor like the rich, and it's complete equality between them. But what happened was, for example, there were many miracles that happened. I mentioned especially one very unique miracle that occurred, which was in the time of the Shemitah, a few decades ago, there was a plague of locusts, and the swarm of locusts come, if you've ever witnessed it, they go to one place to the other, and they reduce all the plants, the trees, the crops, and they destroy them entirely. There'll be complete desolation. So when that happened, it turned out that these locusts destroyed the crops all around the moshav, called Miut, but there they kept the Shemitah,
So what did they do, the locusts, when they reached the borders of that area? They turned, they made a big turn that way and went to the other fields. And such miracles have occurred in different ways, in one shrift after the other. So today, even people who think they didn't keep Shabbat, they know about it, not much about it. And all many, many farms, and today, I think even the majority of farmers, they keep at least certain aspects of the agricultural Shemitah, which is commanded by the Bible. So it shows us, in fact, there's a description of the prophets. In the time of the prophet Joel, there was also a huge locust in the whole Middle East that caused famine, great famine in all the countries around. The different ways in which in Israel, there are more and more farmers who are observing Shemitah year by year, until they come in the majority. This great part of the land of Israel is left fallow in the Hashem shall trust in Hashem. There's another aspect to this then. This is the Chatzav Sofer, the giants of Halakha in the last few hundred years. He says, why does it say the Baal Sinai? It's because if you want to prove of the truth of the Torah, where it was given the Sinai, and that's a Sinai was a picture of the Ten Commandments of given, especially the rest of the Torah. You want to have a proof for it, you've got a proof from this part. But no human being can go and make a promise that you're going to have success. You just say, well, what we need in that land, God says, I'll take care of it. And you see that God actually takes care of it, but there's no greater proof of the truth of the Word of God than this. This brings us also to further aspects. Unless you do any have any comments or questions. I'll continue that
they had the same thing at Moshav Matityahu. When they first started, they were growing grapes, and the government gave them the grapes, the trees to plant and grow. Came to the first Shemitah for them. They came to the first Shemitah for them. They decided they're not doing anything whatsoever. Yeah. What's his name? I forget.
Lev.
Said, we're not touching anything. The government says, anything that dies, we're going to fine you for everything and take away the land. They had triple the amount of grapes than anybody else around afterwards.
So let me ask you a question. There's a phrase all of us use in all languages, called the Jubilee. What's the origin of the word Jubilee? Where does it come from?
Yovel.
What's the Yovel? What is it? What's Yovel mean?
What's the meaning of that?
Everyone knows Jubilee. How many years of Jubilee?
50 years.
Yeah. Some even Jubilee, 25 years. Some monarchs and others, 50 years. but also Berlin. So if you look in the Parsha of the Week, you see it says in the first chapter of verse 5, you've got to count seven times seven years, and then these would be 149 years, and then says in verse 9, you should pass shofar to the Lord b'chodesh ha'shviim. The shofar, which blows with the breaking sound in the seventh month, in the tenth of the month, when you keep on, Tafiru shofar b'chodesh ha'shviim. And you should pass the shofar and get it sounded throughout your land. And you will thereby be Hashem et shanat ha-fumishim shana. Thereby you will sanctify the 50th year. Ukrotem b'roah b'chamad b'chol Yishem should declare freedom in the land for all the inhabitants. Yahweh b'ti yachem. It should be given unto you, and you return each person to his original possession, and each to his family. Now this is based upon the initial division of Eretz Yisrael for the 12 tribes, when they were still distinct one from the other, which happened in the time when the conquest was made. And it's also still able to identify to some extent in later years. But these days, we no longer have that situation. We no longer have any record. We've got some DNA we're able to today, in addition to the traditions we have, to find out who belongs to the tribe. Who belongs to the descendant of the Kohanim, and to as far as Levites are concerned, I don't think there's any, as yet, very much evidence, even with further technology and the development of science. But the whole concept was that in the 50th year, of course, to stop all having slaves and people employed by you, they feel the toshav is still called in the chumash. People keep the Noahide code, also become citizens of the land of Israel and become part of it. They also get both of the from the Jews, and when is that? In this verse, this is also, have any of you heard of the Liberty Bell? What does it say of the Liberty Bell?
Proclaim liberty throughout the land.
Is this
verse?
Say it again.
Proclaim liberty throughout the land.
It's the direct translation to English.
You should call freedom in the land to all its inhabitants. So, where is there a copy of the Liberty Bell? In Jerusalem? Have any of you explored Jerusalem? You don't know?
Forget.
It's even a part of its name. It's called the Liberty Park. It is. There's a Liberty Park. It's not so far from the Knesset, the Liberty Park. And there's a Liberty Bell, a copy of the Liberty Bell. Because, people there in America also, it's a very, very, well, in which case is the Liberty Bell? In America?
Philadelphia.
From?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, yes. Philadelphia, that was the Pilgrim Fathers. They knew the Bible very well. You know, they even had to, when they were in the Ivy League, the biggest English oldest university in America, they even had sometimes to produce many of them their main thesis had been given in Hebrew. They knew Hebrew very well. So this is correct, the Rav Chorashiach, that's the Orel. And it's connected with the Shofar. Because the Shofar on Yom Kippur. Why? Because because true freedom comes when you're free from sin. On Yom Kippur, the whole people are free from sin. That's the Shabbat Shabbaton of all the festivals, Yom Kippur. It's really a festival. Because what creates problems to people? Because they don't keep the laws of God. And the purpose of the prophet, it's really a day of joy, because you're free from sin. And the fasting is always to keep away from entering into regarding the main thing in life, to enjoy it, have fun. So that's we have to try to work against it. Because the straight after Yom Kippur then starts great rejoicing with the festivals that follow. And that's the concept of the shofar. The Rambam even says the meaning of the shofar is to arouse us, each person, to return to Hashem. Return to God and His teachings. So that's all the deep meaning of the Orel, to believe. And therefore, it also expresses itself into the counting. It says here, at the beginning of this paragraph which I quoted, was about all the hope. Now, how are these years counted? Years of Shmita leading up to the Jubilee. What's the difference with what he says here? Now, counting is described with regard to counting the honor. What's the difference? Where do you come from? What's the main source of the mitzvah of counting the honor? What's the source of the honor? What's in front of you? What's that then? Lachem. What's the difference? One is plural, this is singular. Yeah. So the question is, why is it this difference? Question is what for Lachem? The answer is that that lechol means for each person, which we discussed in the previous shir time. So I thought lechol, Parsha Emor, explained that the essence of counting is to make an account of your own personal progress in spirituality and understanding a human being is not just a body but it's also a spirit. And the spirit has to inspire a person to bring to a higher level of morality. That's the essence of counting it for yourself, each person. But lecha here means international. All everything with Shmita is national. It's for the whole nation. That means when the nation is in a situation that they accept the Torah as they did the Sinai, they became one nation. The same at Sinai also is the same. At Sinai it says, first it says that all the people by Yahanu Pariba, they encamped in the desert of Sinai near the mountain. And then In singular, the people as one unit, they were able to receive the Torah. And that's the idea, only when the people are unified, with one unit, then Hashem will give his blessing. So the same applies today, it's the same principle. Only if the nation today is split in so many different groups. I mean, Jews are those who regard themselves as Jews, but many of them don't believe in the Torah, unfortunately. Many don't keep the mitzvah, many keep the mitzvah. But there are many other divisions, from Yehudim, Mitzvah, the Sephardim, Ashkenazim, Hasidim, each one is a different group, and often if they were all together, it doesn't matter, that's the point. Jew has a nature. In fact, Jews are much more individualistic as a whole than the other nations of the world. Other nations of the world, they get together in something more easily than Jews. Jews, we've got that nature. Each one, each person, and each group thinks they have the monopoly of whatever opinion they have, life, whatever system they want to live. But not so easy for us to recognize the values of others. So we have to, even if we are one point of view, we've got to try and discuss it in the way of love. And love, just like Hashem loves all mankind. He loves the Jewish people more because they have agreed to fulfill the covenant which is given to them. And that's why he loves them more. That's why still think there's a potential that we should all work together. And have love for one another. That's the whole concept of Sephira, making a covenant for yourself. And then it goes further until the nation is one. Then you can have a Shmita. And then the Shmita, you see, will be a blessing to everybody. Any comments on this?
Nevertheless, when you do come to your man,
we should say a prayer that we see the rebuilding of the temple nowadays.
No time.
Torah, but to work on questions of trying to reach a higher level, both in relationship to the Creator, in relationship with the fellow man. And they had to become fit to receive the Torah in 50 days. So they needed a big purification. In fact, they say like this, that
when
Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu, was asked about Hashem to free the people from Egypt and bring them to receive the Torah.
So it says,
early on, when he was still a shepherd, he was told, I'm going to take away the people and take away enslavement, make them to free people, physically and spiritually. And this one reason I was, how can I do such a thing? I'm not even on that level myself. That's the country's constant unwillingness to lead the people. And then he accepted it. Hashem says to him, because I want you to listen that the Eschim of the Lamb will take the people for me to the right people. And you're going to see, it says, you're going to see that the people who serve me become my servants instead of slaves to the Egyptian wicked people. Instead of that, I'm going to lead them as my firstborn son, to be able to change mankind, Tavdun, that's how you're in, Ahazel. Do you care if he doesn't say Tavdu? It says Tavdu with the Nun. And what? And the Nun is we know the next Arab is also a number. What's the number Nun? In the Alphabet? Alphabet in the is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah,
50. On the 50th day, that's the day when you'll be able to serve God completely. So this brings me to discuss this whole question of the significance both of 7 and of 50 and of 8. These are numbers connected with mitzvot in the whole of the Bible. Which mitzvot are connected with 7? You tell me.
Shabbos.
What else?
Which mitzvot is connected with number 7?
Shvi'es.
What else?
Shavuos.
All the festivals are connected with 7, one way or another. And so many things we've been discussing now. What's the Shemitah of the Shemitah? The Yom connected with 49, 57 times 7 and 50. Which means to connect with 8?
Brit Milah.
Brit Milah. What else?
Hanukkah.
What else?
Shmini Atzeret.
Shmini Atzeret. So let's discuss Shmini Atzeret. What's the meaning of Atzeret?
To stop.
Run.
Stop.
Uh-huh.
Stop.
Yep.
Let's speak louder.
Assembly.
like this. Even Pesach has not served us. How many days is Pesach?
7 days.
Which is the eighth day? It is Sukkot, after Pesach. But if one understands the Sefirat HaOmer, when does Omer start?
Second day Pesach.
When does it end? The Omer?
Shavuot.
Shavuot says, what does it say in the Chumash? Bichatem Mincha Chadasha Hashem. That means on Pesach, you bring an Omer offering from barley, which is animal fodder. But on Shavuot, we bring a new meal offering to Hashem on a high level. So Shavuot is really the Atzeret of the Pesach. Pesach starts with slaves. We feel the materialistic aspect of life as slaves. But gradually, throughout the times, we reach the level of Shavuot, receiving the Torah as a nation. And therefore, the days in between, that's what the Ramban has a whole essay on this, the days in between are considered like Chol HaMoed, like on Sukkot. Otherwise, there's actually two aspects to the festivals. One, that we start the new year on Rosh Hashanah, the end of the year. And one, that we start the new year from Pesach. The one is winter season, the other is the summer season. So, Pesach is the beginning for the Shaviv. Shaviv means our human pets, that is from the month, Nisan, Pesach month, the father of the 12 months. So we have two types of reckoning the year. And the year in between Pesach and Shavuot is like Chol HaMoed. That means it's secular, it's non-holy. Chol, weekdays on which we do any type of work. On Shabbat, we stop from work. The Shabbat is Kodesh, it's holy. So also, we know the Sukkot festival does have Shmini Atzeret. The eighth is the final gathering in. So similarly also, we have this at the days between Pesach and Shavuot. Shavuot is also called Atzeret. Gathering in of the lessons of the previous period. Where else do we find the concept of 50? What other things? In Megillat Esther, so it says that the gallows on which Haman wanted to have Mordechai, how high were they? 50 cubits. This one, according to the one who gave deep into this, is the Maral of Prague. I think some of you are learning the Tzivot Olam, one of his books, with
Goldstein.
The Maral, God knows, was a very great scholar in every aspect of Torah life. He lived also a long life. was also a great scientist. We were very much appreciated by the great astronomers, the scientists who lived at that time in the area of Prague, Prague itself. And he, was of an earlier sources, in the oral tradition, he went far in developing this concept. And there's another famous scholar called Rabbi Samson Shimshon of Hirsch. His commentary is available in the Shiva, also makes great use of this symbolism to gain a better understanding of Mila, which of the mitzvahs got eight.
The Brit Mila.
Brit Mila. Mila. Well, tzitzit also, how many threads? Eight threads. And some are blue and some are white. So this also connects to the same concept. So, this is critical also to understand the concept of the seven branches of the menorah and the eight branches of Chanukah, different seven and eight, which we leave, to leave this note to the next talk next week. We'll have to go further to understanding the menorah. Seven branch menorah is, after all, such an important symbol of the Jewish people and the Jewish state. You'll find in all official documents of the state of Israel, they're based on the menorah. Menorah is also the basis of Magen David, the shield of David. And in fact, the blue and white has to do with the tzitzit. Some of the threads are white, some threads are blue. It's just not everybody. There are many people there who wear tzitzit, which are white and blue. And these are important symbols, and we live in a miraculous age that people who propose these things were not themselves. Many of them, they didn't even keep the Torah. They were not so much interested in that. But the symbols they took were all symbols with very deep significance, which we will, yes, Hashem, discuss in later Shiurim. Any questions? Comments?
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Can you announce it soon?
Rav Gilbert.